This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
We're coming up to 8:48 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana with Xiao Ning and Jen Sun. Now, the dust has yet to settle. It's far from settled on Malaysian politics after GE15, with the Prime Minister's post still vacant. Whatever the outcome, it will be time to put aside political differences and for the new government to start cracking on the economy and reforms.
Of significance would be the tabling and passing of Budget 2023 to get the wheels of the economy turning again and addressing our bloated subsidy bill and broadening of the tax base. How quickly can the new government respond to all these pressing economic issues, and will there be political will to implement them?
For perspectives on what the next government needs to do to address economic challenges for the country, we have on the line with us Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Jeffrey, good morning. Thank you as always for joining us. Now, Fitch Solutions has recently said in a note that it will likely raise Malaysia's short-term political risk rating due to the current uncertainty. What repercussions will this have if that does happen?
Actually, I'm not too concerned about the political uncertainty, and certainly I'm not too concerned about the effects of this on the market. People, I think, rather overstate this. What we're seeing now, of course, for many people who saw the election on Saturday, some people are getting a bit frustrated that it's taking a bit of time to actually see a prime minister and a government. But in the end, the markets are just getting on with it. You know, before the election was called and during the early stages of the election, and until we are now, the ringgit has actually strengthened over all of that time, despite all the political uncertainties around it. And whilst we might see some issues going on over the course of the next few days until we finally get the government, the most important thing for the market is not what's going on now, it's what will happen once the government is in place.
And the first order of the day for the new government will be to pass the budget, assuming it was the last budget. What are your thoughts on it, and what more would you have liked to see?
Well, let's hope it's not the last budget. Let's put it like that. Budget 2023 was clearly an election budget. It's clearly a pre-election budget. Increase in total spending of 12%, and then a long list of projects for different interest groups. Well, good luck with that, because it didn't work. So what we hope to be able to see is a return to confidence. That's the most important thing in the new government, whether it's confidence because of political stability or confidence because of economic competence. Both of those things, in my view, work together in order to restore a sense that we're back on the right track. So we will need to look again at the budget completely afresh, in my view, and recognize that actually we're not, the most important thing we're facing in the future now is not an election, as it was when Teng Kun Sefo announced the budget. The most important thing that we're facing in the future is first the potential global downturn, and how can the budget help us to avoid the consequences of that? And second, to rebuild, still to rebuild, back from where we were before. People's incomes have fallen, people's pensions have fallen, jobs are still difficult to find, businesses and particularly SMEs are still struggling. So we need to look forward to how we can help those guys.
And Jeffrey, another key position I think the market has their eye on, at least all of us have our eye on, is the position of finance minister, because it's unlikely that Tunku Zafro will come back into that role. Now, so what should this person, or he or she, whoever it is, what should their focus be? And do you think it should be a technocrat?
My personal view is that the person who takes over as the finance minister should have some idea of the economy. And whether they're a technocrat or whether they are a generalist on the economy, they really should have a very good idea about where the economy is going. And what I mean by that is not just reacting to the markets or reacting to financial statements or budgets or reacting to political issues, but reacting to the fundamental structural issues around the economy. What I would like to see is a good philosophy, a good economic philosophy about how it is we want to see the economy growing in the course of the next 5 and 10 years. What will that mean? What were the basic structural changes? What is necessary in terms of basic structural changes in the economy in order to do that? I would also like to see a stability in fiscal policy. We have to move away from this, a new set of packages, a new set of borrowing, a new set of spending, and to set in place fiscal policy, which is in coordination with the independent interest rate policy set by the central bank so that you don't get that in conflict. What we would see, push the economy through fiscal policy, the central bank has to respond to that by raising interest rates. And then we have a policy conflict. The central bank will set interest rates independently, but fiscal policy must support that. So generally speaking, I believe that whoever it is needs to understand these basic fundamentals. So and whether they're a technocrat, whether they're a politician, whether they're just somebody with a general economic outlook, provided they have good advice and good people in the finance ministry implementing the policies, we should be in good shape.
Now, zooming into one of the issues that most economists identify as a priority is the unwinding of our subsidy bill, which stands at some 80 billion ringgit. In what form do you see this happening, and how crucial is this for Malaysia's economy?
Yes, I was just saying that in some senses, the subsidy issue will solve itself because the biggest subsidy, of course, is for petrol, and oil prices have come down quite considerably from where they were before. So as those oil prices come down, the cost of subsidies should come down. But of course, also the revenue that we get for through Petronas will also come down. So that will sort of solve itself in some senses. But there are residual subsidies in food and utilities and so on, and they will also have to be handled. It's very important that that doesn't happen too quickly, because removing subsidies does have an effect on raising the price back to where the market would have them have the prices, and that can be inflationary. So it shouldn't be done too quickly. And we should do it in a structural way, not through this foolish e-wallet system. As I mentioned before, it's the absolutely stupid idea. So we need to have a proper structural approach to deal with not just prices, but also incomes. How can people afford to pay for that? Because the targeting issue was a big issue, remember. Problem with the part of the problem with the subsidies was rich people were also benefiting as much as poor people. So we need a holistic approach to how we're going to deal with cost of living and affordability of living, rather than just relying on subsidies. Subsidies are not a good thing in the long run, as I've mentioned before on BFM. They're useful in the short term, but we're past the short term now. So we need structural reform. And this is all part of this idea of what should the new finance minister do. We need to look at supply side reform and structural reform.
And Jeffrey, in terms of broadening the tax revenue base, what new taxes look more likely to be implemented?
Well, that was a big black hole in all of the manifestos. Not one of them mentioned any questions about taxes. Of course, it's quite controversial because of this debate about GST, SST, or even, I hardly can say, the HST, the harmonized services taxes. My view is that there needs to be a full review of taxation, a holistic review of taxation. Not to take the view that you just solve this problem by reintroducing GST, but that you have to balance all of that with income taxes on households and income taxes on companies, excise duties right across the board, and then also balance that with the total government revenue process and how is all that coming in. As a general rule, if you have more efficient and lower taxes, you can improve your revenues overall. That's a well-known and well-established mainstream economic position. And I think it's time now that many tax changes are made on an ad hoc basis. And it's quite confusing, and it doesn't appear to have very much structure. It's time now for a full tax reform, full tax review.
All right, Jeffrey, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, giving us some of his prescriptions that the next government should pay attention to in order to ensure the stability and growth of the Malaysian economy.
Well, let's see who has the political will, right, to drive through these suggestions, all very valid. I think the biggest thing on people's mind is managing inflation and the higher cost of living. How are we going to do that? So yeah, subsidies don't really work, but what's the alternative? Is it cash directly to the people that need it, because you can't just remove the rug from under them and not provide any other support either. But the way we are managing our subsidies, like the petrol one, doesn't make sense, because the guy who drives the Mercedes gets the same benefit as the person who's, you know, struggling to make ends meet with his motorbike.
I was really struck by Jeffrey's emphasis on the need for the next person who decides on the economy to have a really clear economic philosophy and to have very clear direction on how all these policies work together. And it's never just on one person yet. It's always going to be the minister or the prime minister, the minister, and also their team of advisors.
Yeah.
So we really need I mean, that's who to watch. It's never just one person. It's who's surrounding them as well.
Exactly. So it's not just the finance minister when you think about it, right? It's every other ministry, right? Be it Ministry of Trade, it could be MOSTI. It's no ministry should work in silos, and the policy should not compete with each other. They should complement each other, and they shouldn't be so complicated that people can't even remember, oh, who's in charge of this or who's in charge of that. They shouldn't be overwhelmingly bureaucratic in nature.
Yeah, I liked how he said that he really wanted the previous budget to be scrapped because it was largely an election budget. But I guess if it does happen, then there will be certain portions of the rakyat which will not be too happy as well.
We're coming up to 8:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.